It is Wednesday, March 11th, 2020. It's 5:35 p.m. We're going to start the regular council session for the city of Lapine with call to order. Mike Shields is here, Don Greiner is here, Connie Breeze telephonically. We have Mike Harper here, we have our student counselor, Max Miller here, myself, Daniel Richard. We have a quorum. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Do we have any added agenda items?
No.
No added agenda items. So we're going to move right into public comments. We'll allow 3 minutes per person. Do we have any public comments? No public comments. So moving right along briskly into our consent agenda, which includes the minutes for the February 12th regular session, the February 26th work session, council and staff reimbursements. Do I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
We have a first and a second on the consent agenda. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, looks like we're good to go. We'll pay the bills. We're moving into number 7, which is our parking ordinance. We have a discussion on this. Do we have a staff report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, brought this before you as a first look. It's not an action item. It's just to get you acquainted with it. Hopefully you have any questions we can answer or get those answered for you and then bring it back for adoption at a subsequent meeting. I think I talked about bringing this one before. This is mainly because we've had issues with primarily Wakey Up Junction. There's been a lot of cars for sale. We now have boats, wood pipe, you know, cords of wood. It's getting pretty elaborate out there. And what's happening is they're taking up a lot of space, and two, the CET bus can't make the full circle as easily because when you have trailers out there. Just sitting out there all the time, and sometimes, like in the case of the boat that was there for many months, it's sticking out, and so they're feeling like they can't make that turn really safe, and so they've asked that we help them do something about that. And since the primary purpose of that is a park and ride and for a bus pickup, we're bringing this ordinance, and that's going to take care of Wiki Up, public streets, and then also our future Lapine Station parking, so that doesn't get taken up with vehicles for sale. And so this ordinance will prohibit people from main purpose of parking for sale vehicles on public right away. And then if you have any questions, try to answer.
Thank you so much. I'll just start this out. This does or does not pertain to areas in our downtown that are privately owned along the highway that things would be parked there and the city deems is not a good thing or a good thing, or where does this specifically go to?
If it's private, we can take care of it through land use, which we haven't done before. You know, you can't take up required parking spots for sale of vehicles or things like that. We haven't really address that in land use before, but we probably will start. It's just another part of us, you know, becoming more aware and looking at different things. As far as private owners, this ordinance reflecting on them only to the extent that they want it to. So if we have a private owner with a parking lot that feels like it's being taken advantage of, there's vehicles there without their consent, they can put up the ordinance number sign, and this ordinance will apply to them also. But if they do not want to do that, then no, this does not apply to private parking areas.
So just to elaborate, if this were to be an example, as in Ray's or Shop Smart, and they wanted to have, or they had no problems with cars being in all the parking spots out along the street with for sale signs in it, then this does not cover that?
Nope.
Okay, thank you so much, I just was wondering. Do you have any questions, Mike?
No.
Connie Breeze, do you have any questions?
I'm just confused a little bit about the six words.
Yep, where it says private.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I asked them, that was my exact question. They, basically that they're considering our, we're private, I guess. It was a weird thing, I saw it too, and I made that, I asked the attorney about it too, and it has to do with, we're considered a private parking facility even though it's public. It's weird. I really can't explain it as well as them. I'll try to get you something in writing before we adopt it for the staff report.
Okay, and I guess that the private facilities, what we must that raise or the hospital or whatever, they put up the ordinance sign, we would enforce it?
Yeah, I believe you are correct. They would be responsible for enforcing it, but they could do so through our ordinance.
Okay.
They would have the ability.
Unclear.
Well, they would have the ability to, I guess, tow or get rid of the vehicles existing that are for sale if they have one of our, if they have a sign with the ordinance number on it saying they're, you know, violation of the sales per city ordinance.
Okay.
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Connie. Don Greiner?
Page 2, section 4, angle parking. It really irritates me when somebody was parked with a huge big trailer on it, or trailer hitch, to be a restriction on how many feet a vehicle could use. In other words, we don't want a 30-foot vehicle parked in a 10-foot parking spot. That's one of the things. And what else? Oh, on the next page, 513, on a sidewalk, I think we ought to add on or pathway because we have a lot of pathways. Parking restricted areas, where do we stand there?
Which section are you?
Well, that's page 391. The manager may identify areas with the city as temporary parking restriction areas.
That's like for a parade or if we're having a big event or if some, you know, as part of an event form, they want to restrict a road.
And one place there it says if you restrict it for more than 2 years, the city council has to.
And I just may have gotten ahead of myself. That actually might be talking about
it's on 9
situation. Yeah, I see it. I don't really know when we would use that except for if a business was asking for maybe like a loading zone or putting a red stripe, that kind of thing.
Or if the city put parking spots in front of someone's business and the business said I don't want anybody parking in front of my business, is that the way that it works?
This is kind of like a temporary, it says temporary, and I think it's for the necessity of parking based on one or more of the criteria, so I guess if I can't think of a situation when this would be used, but I'm sure that this is standard language because they pulled it out, so I would imagine in bigger cities maybe there's an area where there's somebody wants to put a loading zone in or do something and they're restricting parking. And so you review it to make sure it's adequately working the way it was supposed to work in the restriction. I'll just be honest, I don't know when they would use that.
I can think of it like in areas like Crescent Creek, if you said there will be no off-street parking because there's not temporarily and it extended to 2 years, then the council would have to approve it if I read this properly.
Yeah, it's pretty involved. If you read 9.2, there's, yeah, you know, adoption of administrative policy. It almost seems like that would be more of a, almost in with a land use type thing, but.
And towing, if you get your car towed, they have to pay that city staff or towing company staff.
Yeah. Because there's going to be attorney fees probably in that too, because we'd have to write a letter and get hold of them.
Okay. I think that's about the only thing I have.
I don't plan on going on a whole big towing mission.
Thank you so much. Mike Harper?
No, if someone parks in that parking lot and just sticks a sign on their vehicle and takes a bus every day.
Matter if they stick a for sale sign in their vehicle and take the bus, it's still the primary purpose, they're trying to sell it.
Okay.
So they're gonna have to take that sign down while they're in that parking lot. They can park somewhere else and have their sign up.
Okay.
If they want to go to Ray's, such as. Not that we're encouraging that, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to identify that. Are we gonna
yeah.
get warnings?
It's actually,
warnings?
Yeah, because, yeah, they'll get warnings. The
okay.
police, I think, Deschutes or code enforcement will take care of it.
Does this differentiate, somewhere's in here, differentiate the difference between standing in attendance of your vehicle versus parking in unattendance of your vehicle?
Well, if they're gonna stand all for eight hours?
Yes, people with firewood will pull into a parking
yeah.
spot, sit inside the cab
yeah.
of their truck, and wait until somebody pulls up to buy their firewood.
This definitely does not matter if you're in attendance or not. It has to do with the primary purpose of your vehicle being there. And so the for sale sign in it is the key.
Okay.
Yeah, I have that highlighted because I asked about it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking like somebody pulls into Cinco and has a sign in their vehicle.
Doesn't affect this ordinance.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or pulls in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was all.
Well, street parking like over here in Huntington Meadows. Stuff like that. We have one question.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kind of back a little bit here. I was reading this while I was driving the truck today. Weight limit of 12,000 pounds.
Yeah, technically in urban areas on residential streets, you have a weight limit, and it's really to keep you from bringing those big trucks on the infrastructure because it does create some issues.
Yeah, but the truck's got, you know, the snowplow that comes in there weighs more than that.
But they're not staying overnight. They're not like parking in this on the infrastructure and pulling in and out every day. What you don't want is that to happen. You want them to be on your own personal property, not in the street.
I think that gets more to a size problem.
But I think the idea is we don't want you taking commercial vehicles into residential every day in and out on the infrastructure. I think, and this is a normal, this is actually very much a normal thing because it was in cities I came from, this was actually in there.
I guess
and it's a land use thing too.
I'm concerned about the guy, say like somebody working for Hooker Creek or one of these other big companies.
Yeah, technically he shouldn't. I mean, to be blunt, he really shouldn't.
But they're not, they don't take up any more space.
It's not about the space, it's about the weight on the infrastructure. Every day, in and out, in and out. And
yeah,
taking up the
they've done roads
service.
For years.
I know.
Big problem. The road's constructed properly,
then
the vehicle weighing that is not a problem.
I can ask the, you know, we can tweak that and rework it if that's the council's, you know.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to restrict.
But then realize you might get some logging trucks, you might, and then we're going to have residential people complaining that there's trucks parked in front of them.
Put a limit on it, and I think I would put that limit where logging trucks, I can understand. We don't want logging trucks.
I think you find as we get more subdivisions, and the roads aren't as wide, I think you're gonna find the residents are gonna complain a lot more if you have those commercial big trucks coming in and out every night and parking, and especially if they're parking on the street. If you can pull it in and park on your driveway, that's a different story. This is talking about parking on the road.
Yeah.
So you're taking up a lot of road width, you're taking up a lot of road space.
How I took that is, you know, there's a truck right across from Ray's along that trailer park there that parks there after all winter. He was parked there, a big semi. And it was there most of the winter, right across from Ray's parking garage there. And that's what I took that to mean, that people like that couldn't park their car there forever. I mean, that was the restriction when I'm talking about. I see absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be allowed to do.
Yeah,
thing.
There's a lot of people that's their job. They're driving.
Would it fit in your driveway?
Well,
I guess that's the question. I mean,
a lot of people park
the other vehicle on the street. So yeah, you could do that too.
Well, a lot of people drive those trucks around here though. So The good jobs aren't here in La Pine. They're traveling somewhere. They're carrying equipment.
Electricians might get in.
See, and the way that I took this also is there's some, and let's even use Crescent Creek as the situation. Alleys in the back are where you access your driveway with your watch and stuff. And some service trucks, if they were to park back there, you would never be able to get by them.
Might make more sense to put a restriction on vehicle.
Well, and I might throw another wrench in this. I'm gonna look it up. I will look it up now. I'll look it up after the meeting and get back to you. But I think our home occupation, if you're bringing home service vehicle, commercial vehicles, there's already a limit and there's already a how many and where it can park. So I think we're there already in another ordinance. I don't know that this is gonna help. So if we really wanted to get, I guess, into that discussion, that could be one we might wanna have later as a council, but.
I know there's a guy that they park it close to their home all the time and it never causes a problem.
Yeah, again, I think we're talking about on your personal property as opposed to off and sitting on the street and impeding traffic and taking up the whole, you know, snow plows. I mean, so we're getting into a whole realm of city urban living and, you know, snow plows and dust and how we clean the streets or, you know, everything goes into this. So if you're wanting to take that out or you want to increase it to 22, we can make those changes.
I would think increase it.
My fear is I just don't want big logging trucks coming in and out every day. I mean, they even when they start up, they're noisy in the mornings. I think we're going to have a lot of more residential complaints allowing bigger commercial trucks than not.
I think we're talking about ones that fit normal size, driveways, normal, but they're just heavy.
LoDOT rules on what that ain't kind of load on it. It can get up there. LoDOT's where you have to go across the scales. And so I think that's kind of where you need to put the limit because any of those trucks.
Was there any way that we could just write it as a like a single axle vehicle instead of a weight limit having a single axle vehicle restriction on it?
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Attended vehicles number 8 on page 3. Officer finds an unlocked vehicle parked and or standing unattended with the ignition key of the vehicle. The peace officer is authorized to be on private parking lot.
Yeah. Again, probably just normal language in the ordinances. We don't have code enforcement walking around looking in all the vehicles, and this only happens to be if it's in the parking areas where they have a for sale sign or something. I don't know.
Well, I find it funny we're talking about writing laws for this, but there's been a pickup sitting across the street from my street that still has snow piled next to it because the sun can't hit that side of the street.
And again, I think we're talking mostly about public parking areas. This is a parking ordinance. It's good for our city to have, and we will, you know, it gives us the ability to enforce those kind of situations if people start complaining and it becomes an issue.
Plows that. So is that not?
Huh?
The city plows that.
Yeah.
Street, so
and we do have snow plow, you know, ordinance for when there's snow and towing vehicles in a snow event, but this would be for any other reason.
If you research the items of contention and get back to the council on that would be great.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Is there any other discussion on the matter, Max?
No,
I just had the private parking one, but you already set that up, so.
Connie, did any other questions come to mind for you?
No.
Okay, so then I think that we're gone through that. So let's move into our next item, which is our gas tax consultant update. Is there a staff report on that?
Yeah, I went back and did some research. I never did get a hold of a consultant, and I still am kind of vague on what they do. I did put it out there for all the other cities, and I did get two responses, one from the city of Colberg and one from Brookings. Both responded their entire email. Should I add quotes around them, but what they told me, and it just... as you're, you know, as the city manager with our budget coming up and what we're spending money on this tax, I just, my gut tells me that we are, our council is locked into our residents, and I feel like you could do a better job getting the word out. And with our flyers, we might, you know, that we're gonna have done, and the website, I just feel like the consultant in the one case, they said, really didn't help them much. And so I'm putting it to you, do you want me to do more research? Do you want me to actually contact a consultant and see, or are you comfortable enough with what these two cities have come back with and said? I didn't hear from anybody else.
One of the things that I would note is we don't have a television station here in town. We only have two regular forms of spreading information. One would be the Eagle and one would be the Wise Buys. I think that we're very adequately good to advertisements in that, in those ourselves. I don't know what real benefit other than greeting the public through an open house or something that a media source could do for us. Is there any comments on this? Connie, do you have any idea?
Maybe not.
Okay, Mike Harper?
I think we should use the radio station as well.
We're working on those. The attorney has given us a deadline, and we have to have those flyers done by the end of March. So we have a couple weeks to get those flyers done, and then we have to get them certified from the attorney general's.
Need some open houses.
Secretary of State.
Facebook page, open houses.
One of the things to note here is that once this is certified for the ballot, staff will not be able to take and promote this at all. It'll have to be through the council or through a media organization.
It would have to be.
Well, Melissa and Tracy and Jake can't go around and, you know, the staff cannot promote this.
But they could post to Facebook.
The city, we can post on Facebook the information, right. It has to be facts. We can have on our website facts, which we are doing, we will do. We are already working on that. And we can mail out the flyers. So the flyers we have that we're working on taking from Brookings, actually, to do two different mailings at two different times.
The open house that we had on this subject would have to be done before the certification of the ballot?
I don't know the answer to that. I'll find out.
Thank you so much. Don Greiner?
Okay, first of all, I can't hear promoting something on the membership or promoting something like this when we want the community involved. My opinion is that we should have some outreach meetings and maybe take some money that we would have spent for a consultant and put on a nice program with some food and everything, entice people to come out, and when they are, explain to them exactly, have our posters up, have all of the council there explaining why we need it, and just really put the pressure on that. I don't think that's, we need to explain our need and why we're pushing this. And I have no objection to all the other things going on, but I think the personal contact is one of the things that we're going to need to push it.
Ballot measure after it's been certified.
I'm not talking about staff, I'm talking about
us, yes, we can anything. Yeah. But I'm talking about staff. You know, they cannot send Melissa to advertise.
I understand. And I agree.
It doesn't bother me the least, but I just want everyone to know the limitations.
I just had one. If we were to do the job ourselves, I just had an idea. The high school has a marketing class, and if we wanted to keep it inside the city, I could talk with Jeff Bache. He teaches that class, and that could be something that they might be interested in doing. That gets them some experience, and it keeps it local.
Oh, that is excellent.
I like it
a lot.
And that's why you're here.
Max is coming up with all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, you're welcome tonight, Max.
I love that idea.
Do we have any other comments on this situation?
So just to clarify, I'm hearing a consensus of touch base with Max, marketing class, We'll continue with the flyers we have going in our informational sheet. I will find out legally if we can have an open house after certification or before, and exactly the fine line, the role between staff and council and what happens. Okay.
Right, thank you so much. We're gonna move into number nine, which is our lawyer's contract with Brian Loveland and Jarvis. Do we have a staff report?
Yeah, I apologize, I didn't stick a staff report, a written staff report with it. It was kind of last minute. I had, wanted to get this on the agenda because I think it's almost lapsed. We have, I think they raised the rate $25 from what we were paying, so the rate per hour will now be $225. It is staff's opinion that, sorry, I'm squeaking there. Staff's opinion that we're probably paying about now at the normal rate that all his other clients are paying. However, he is working on some pretty big projects for us that have just recently started and will be continuing on. With that, COIC will have a new attorney on staff March 30th. And I have confirmed that they are going to be, and I put this in quotes, lending out their attorney for cities for a lower price. So we would still pay that attorney, but it would be much lower than our than Jeremy. And so we would be able to use them for some, you know, the things like these ordinances, questions, quick questions, all the day-to-day type stuff that comes up that we could go to them and have answered and have ordinances drawn up. And so that's exciting. So it'll probably be about April when we set that up and I find out more about that. So I expect between the two, we can cut some costs. And I'm excited about that.
Thank you so much. Mike Shields, do you have any comments on this?
The only comment I have is it's less than what my attorney's charging, so I think we're still getting a fair deal.
There you go. Mike Harper?
I'm saying.
Connie Pease?
Other than Jeremy Green has a lot of value and saves us money because of knowledge, existing knowledge. So.
Thank you so much. Don Greiner?
Well, I agree with Mike. I've had the occasion to use attorneys twice last year, and one was $300 an hour, and one was $350 an hour.
Yep.
And that I like about it here is it says that this charge will be reviewed annually. So that means just because we set it this doesn't mean that it's going to stay that one or something else further on. Also, Connie is right. I was on the council when Jeremy was first hired, and at that time he was $1 an hour. And we didn't have a contract at that time. It was also, because he knows all of the history behind, that's valuable. Last meeting on a couple told him to go ahead with, and turned on that. So it would not be wise to screw things up right now.
Thank you so much. I'm in favor of it for the reason being that Jeremy, being a municipal attorney for multiple cities, can save Lapine money like he just divided his costs in researching items that that were of the same nature across multiple cities. He divided the cost up between the cities rather than charging each city an individual amount. And I think that that's cost saving to the city, so I don't have a problem with it at all.
Get a motion on that real fast, please.
Okay, so all those in favor of retaining our current attorneys for another contract period, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, I guess we've got the same ones.
Does somebody want to volunteer to first and second that?
I'll first.
Connie first, anybody second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right, so Since we have no other matters, we're going to go back into public comments. Do we have any public comments at this moment? It appears not. We're going to move right into staff comments. Melissa?
Sure. So on the 5th of March, I actually went into Bend and gave a PowerPoint presentation to the League of Women Voters regarding Lapine and affordable housing. Well received. They were very excited. And so that was good. Got some exposure for Lapine and what's going on here. And then save the date on May 21st from 11:30 to 12:30. We're going to have a joint ceremony, ribbon cutting and groundbreaking for the Lapine station, and then ribbon cutting for the new bus line that goes from Lapine to Sun River. And so CET will have the new bus there. We'll have a ribbon cutting. Patty Adair will be there, probably one or more of the other commissioners, Tony Bonerfil. Mayor will be there. Any other council people, please try to be there. And we'll have as many members of the public as we can get. And we'll have that ceremony, so that's exciting. And then we have on April 21st and 22nd, or 22nd. Well, is it both days?
Just the 22nd.
The 22nd, we have a open house for the refinement plan. It's coming along. Some good opportunities and
There's two days.
One's gonna be stakeholder and project management team meetings, I've got a lot of meetings and a lot of times on my mind, so I'm not sure. But I know the 22nd is the final. That evening is the public open house. At that open house, we'll also have, the city will be there, and we will have a, for lack of a better term, a booth or a table. And we will also have Jake at that meeting give an update on the water sewer project and explain the change with having the septic tanks be on private property. We will also have staff, either Kelly or Tracy, whoever draws the short end of the stick, will be there with as a notary. And they will be able to, so people, if they want to sign those permanent easements, they will be able to do that night, and we can get those signed and notarized right then. We should have that wrapped up, those that paperwork and those things ready to go out, those letters ready to go out in probably another week. Jake's on vacation this week, so I assume shortly after he gets back, we'll have them ready to go in the packet. So that is all.
Okay, Tracy?
The only thing I wanted to mention was that when we have things to distribute to you folks, whether it's your packets or a reimbursement check or anything at all, we're going to start putting them in your folders in the supply room. We've been putting packets on the table in here or out on the counter, or a check is in somebody's office and they're gone. So everything's going to go in your mailbox.
Perfect.
That's it.
Okay. Let's move into council and mayor comments. Connie, do you have any comments? As far as I know, Connie, Mike will be here for another one more meeting, and we do have people that have accepted applications that are supposed to fill them out and get them back to us. So we're kind of working towards that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, Mike Shields. Don Greiner.
I've talked enough tonight.
Mike Harper.
I will not be here the meeting for the 25th. I'll be in Colorado, so.
Okay.
I can call in for it.
And that will be your last meeting?
Probably. Right. I might still be here in April. It depends on how the sale.
Right. I mean, you turned in notice, and I believe that's your last meeting is where I was going with
yeah.
that. All right, and Max Miller?
Uh,
Not much. I'll just talk to the marketing and I'll get back to you guys on that for next meeting.
And did you have any comments about our high school and what's going on at our high school?
Well, we just started a new orienteering team at the high school. We're actually going to have a competition on the 28th. So that's going to be exciting. I'm going to participate in that. And we're going to give the kids an experience to go on an overnight camping trip with that too, and some land navigation for that. We also just started a new club soccer team down here in Lapine. So that's that'll be good for eighth graders and all the way up through high school. So there's that gap in between sixth through eighth grade that didn't really have soccer. You'd have to drive to Bend to do it. So now we have club soccer down here for eighth graders too. So that's just something new that just came in 2 weeks ago. So
thank you so much. Okay, so I guess I'm next. There's a couple things that I would like to speak about. One is Anderson Perry and Associates has provided us another $1,000 grant to a high school student, the same way that Trenton received it last year. It's being given to a student. They'll have to apply and meet some criteria, and then we'll figure out who will get it. I would really like to thank Anderson Perry for the opportunity to give this away to a student. Melissa has details about this for anybody that would like more details. I received an email from Dr. George Conrad. He is our county health director from the county today. I discussed this with Melissa, and through some of his suggestions, we contacted various facilities that hold large or mass grouping events and provided them the signage that Dr. George provided to us so that they can voluntarily put it up around their facility for the benefit of anyone that would be at the facility, with just some common sense precautions that are there. I think that's about it. Can you think of anything else? I think that's it. If anybody else has any questions about what I just said, okay, then we're going to adjourn tonight's meeting. And thank you so much, Connie.
All right, thank you.
All right, good evening.
Maybe if everybody had their microphone turned off except when they speak with that mic.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well,
now it's picking up fine.
Yeah, see.